This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The 1-1. High drive. Well hit ball out into center. Leote just watching as it hits up over the batter's eye. Second home run for De La Cruz. Both come with men on board. This two-run shot makes it 14-0.
With the torpedo bat, RJ Choppy?
Yes, with the torpedo bat. Ellie De La Cruz, 7 RBIs, 2 homers. The RBIs were a career high. And he used the torpedo bat, which, boy, that is all the rage around the sport right now because the amount of orders that the bat companies have been getting. I watched a video from Marucci. Marucci's a bat company. And they do a lot of kids' bats, like youth, metal bats. But they also make some wood bats. And there was a video of, like, the guy who's, like, one of the bat makers. And this video was, like, a year ago, talking about how the design of this, he goes, we find it's a better design. And it's a better design bat and things, you know, progress and migrate, and this is now all the rage. But they do say it takes like 4 weeks to get a bat if you order, because they order to your specifications. Like, they will put something on the knob of your bat, and then you'll swing it 3 times, and then it will give you the exact bat for your swing, like where it's weighted.
Wow.
You know, the type of handle and everything. So it takes a little while, but everyone's going to be ordering these things.
Well, the Texas Rangers got torpedoed, embarrassed every which way. Kumar Rocker and the team get humiliated in Cincinnati, 14-3.
Yeah, this has thrown a little bit of cold water on my fun Rangers weekend against the Red Sox. It's like, hey, maybe this is all going to be turned around. And then when you're down 14-0 in like the 7th inning against the Reds, that's a little discouraging. And Kumar Rocker specifically being discouraged, I just had to look this up. So he gave up the 2 home runs, but he also had the 2 walks, and then he had the wild pitch. So all that command stuff, all that control stuff, still going. He almost hit somebody last night too. Like, this is the concern with him right now. And what Chris Young talked about a couple weeks ago about, hey, where you've got him in the lab every day, looking at video, trying to figure out where his mechanics went wrong, because he's just not as clean right now as he was at the end of last year.
I had a bunch of different Kumar bets Underdog, and I couldn't decide which one. They make you pick one of them in like the little side subcategories. Over on walks, it was 1.5. Over on hits, I think it was 3.5. And then first inning pitch count was like 19. And I was like, I'm not going to predict they score 3 runs in the first. That's a little bit scary. So first inning pitch count, no. Hits, I could go with that. But Bobby talking about Rocker and surprise with the control and the walks, I was like, okay, let's go with that one. 2 walks. 2 walks and I'm home free. I still want them to have about 4 innings, 5 innings. But 2 walks in there, well, every damn one of them hit. And they hit easily. The first inning pitch count, obviously, he got beaten and battered. He lost some of that control in that one inning in terms of putting men on. RJ, this was ugly in every which way. He got beaten. He got dinked. Yep. He got dunked. Everything happened to Kumar Rocker. Look, you could see the breaking stuff. That was the only little small positive I took away with some of his breaking pitches. He froze Trevino on one that they were talking about and replaying on the TV broadcast. But, man, outside of that, you cannot feel good.
Dude, I mean, like,
baseball go.
You know, he was trying to find the strikes that he found the bats. Like, and they weren't like ground ball hits that got through. I mean, these were ropes. And I bet you if you went.
Well, there was a lot. There were dinks and dunks, too. There were balls that leaked through slowly. There were balls that found the stands quickly. Like, I thought every single type of hit happened.
Yeah, I thought they were roping them, especially that first inning, like just bang, 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 bang. It was like this was not the start that you're looking for from him. You know, the good news is that you know, he only walked two, and he gave up the six runs. Like that actually is the good news. Like usually, if you're gonna give up six runs, you're gonna have like four walks in there, right? You're just gonna have a ton of walks. And that's the you know, he only did that. I actually like that they sent him out for the third inning. Like you can't. You're gonna. The Rangers are probably. They had to. I had to go back and look at this. Most teams have had an off day. Because a lot of teams, especially if you don't
I
play.
I think the Yankees are off for the next 2 days. I kept trying because I'm on torpedo watch now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did they play last night or are they playing today?
They didn't play yesterday.
Yeah, and I think they're off today.
That would be surprising to have an off on a. I've never seen a team off on a Tuesday like that.
They're just so winded from all the home runs they've had.
But, you know, in early in the year, you know.
They host Arizona. Is today April 1st?
Yes.
Yeah. They host Arizona, so my
You know, but like a lot of teams played that Thursday, and then if you didn't have a dome stadium, you had Friday off because they were. It's planning for weather. The Rangers obviously have a dome, and they didn't have an off day yesterday. A lot of teams had an off day yesterday. So they're going to be playing seven straight games right out of the gate, and they needed Rocker to go deep. They needed Garabito to go a couple of innings, too, and he did. You know, he got hit around a little bit, but... They needed that. Like, they needed to get, like, six innings out of those two guys.
Look, it's still, Randy Galloway used to say all the time, he was like, you win three out of every five games and you're going to the playoffs. And, yeah you're 3-2 to start the season. It's just the Rocker thing is a little concerning because you saw him last year and we're like, all right, if he can take a step up, if he can continue to put things together, he can be a really dominant force. And these control issues are just a little bit concerning early on, but... Still some positives that come out of this. Adolis Garcia is still smashing the baseball. He roped both of his hits in play yesterday. Jonah Heim was still hitting the ball really hard. So, I mean, there's still some of the stuff that you were really banking on as like, hey, this needs to be better this year that looked good yesterday.
Well, so. It was embarrassing for the offense, too. They only had five hits. Berger had the home run in the ninth inning to get them. They scored their three runs in the eighth and the ninth inning. But the offense was totally silenced also.
Silence. There was nothing. They got nothing. Singer had it. He made his slider look like DeGrom's, and especially in the first inning where he was. I mean, he was just that thing was really working against Simeon and then Seager. But I mean, he made the Rangers look like they had never swung a bat before. Like they were still in spring training.
Here's Boach on the lopsided loss after.
Yeah, well, it was one of those games. It just started out bad and gradually got worse. You know, their guy did a great job on us, had his sinker slider going, and our guy just made some mistakes. He down the middle with the fastball and had trouble getting the breaking ball over at times, and we made too many mistakes ahead in the count, too. You know, we just didn't pitch well, and of course, the bats were quiet, and you know, it just didn't go well.
So there's the beatdown, Bochy with the incredible voice afterwards, and the Rangers will try to get some revenge today. On 105.3 The Fan.
There are 10 teams that have played five games. 10, that's it. And two of them are the Dodgers and the Cubs, who played two of those games in Japan.
That doesn't count.
So that didn't even count. So the Dodgers have only played four. So you're really down to, what, eight teams that have played as many games as the Rangers. Like, it's just, you know, the bad part of the schedule where they had to get extra innings from Rocker last night and they didn't get it.
Nate Eovaldi back out on the mound after the nice opening day performance. And as someone texted and tweeted, the Reds are about to score more runs than fans in the stands.
That's bad. That was embarrassing. Like this is
Tolo Skip sent me a little seat action and you could get in for $1 last night. Yeah. Section 523. Ooh. Section 404 had the amazing deal. No, the amazing deal is $1, 523. Yeah. Section 404, great deal at $2 a piece.
You know it's a cold night when they're all wearing their whatever they call those things, the masks. Like they're
the ball the gators or whatever.
Yeah, the gator thingies.
Elamines.
Yeah.
I was right.
I'm going to go through five different clips to show that you were wrong. I'm going to go and look. But that shows how obsessed Bobby is.
Yeah. We're
talking about Khalid Elamine, Khalid Elamine.
Khalid.
And 10 minutes later, after the show yesterday, he goes, I was right.
Being right is my drug. Being
right is my drug. And in the clip, it was Khalid. Yeah. Sniff it up. The Dallas Mavericks had another Nico encounter, another Nico incident last night. We'll get to that at 6:20, but let's get to some good news.
Hands it forward. Johnston fighting through. He scores! Wyatt Johnston! The goal-scoring streak up to 5 games, and Dallas is in front.
Victory plus with the call. You heard the reference of the streak, and the star streak goes to now 6 games with a 3-1 win over the Kraken. Second straight win in Seattle. The Stars finished the road trip 4-0, and the month of March, 11-2-2. After what felt like that's a rocky month for them. 11-2-2. 30th goal of the season for Wyatt. Second straight 30-goal season. And remember, as Spittle points out to us, he's still 21. And he turns 22 in May.
This you could file this under a bad beat if you took the over on the total goals. There were 3 goals scored in the first 3.5 minutes of this game. And then there was nothing until an empty netter late. And, you know, DeSmith was so effective. That one goal he let up, that was not on him. That was a complete breakdown. They left their man open, wide open right in front of the net for the centering pass from behind the net. He should never have let up that goal. That wasn't on him. This was a shutout. Like, this should be credited as a shutout for DeSmith. He was fantastic, and they are rolling.
Matt Duchene got the Stars' first goal. He has been a road warrior, 44 points away from home, 75 points in 74 games played. DeSmith, terrific in goal, as you said, has only allowed 6 goals in his last 5 games played. So the Stars are 4 points behind Winnipeg for the top spot in the Central. They will host Nashville on Thursday. Colorado picked up a point in an overtime loss, but the Stars have stretched that lead over the Avs to 8. Cut him off. What? Good job, Peyton. Good job, okay. Pepe.
Wow.
877-881-1053. Franco and Franco Injury Attorney text line. How important would it be to get that top spot with that matchup versus where they are right now?
Oh, huge. Because, like, the way the playoffs go is they don't do 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7. They deal with your individual division first. So you would be up against Colorado in the first round as it stands right now, as opposed to if you're Winnipeg, I think you get Minnesota. So it's just a much more advantageous position to be in if you're the one seed. You get the wild card-ish team, right? As opposed to Colorado, who could beat anybody, and they're playing, and they have been playing really good hockey since the trade deadline. I know they lost a couple in a row, but for the most part, since they traded Mikko, they've actually done really, really well.
Pepe, how did you divvy up last night? When did you turn off the Rangers, check on the Stars? We'll get to the Mavericks in just a second.
Yeah, well, with the Rangers playing, at 5:40, they were down 6-0 before dinner time. You know, I'm cooking dinner, and they're down 6-0 already, so I was trying to keep up with that. I was really hoping Rocker would go longer. I mean, I was really excited to see him out there and pitch. I mean, I'm not a guy that's going to throw guys back to the minor leagues, one start in, after a bad start.
Like Bobby did with the closer, yeah.
That was disappointing. and then, went to the Mavs, because, I mean, I thought they were going to win last night. I really did.
These 5:40 starts are amazing.
Oh, my God. I mean, the game's over by 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's fantastic. What'd you make?
It was a rigatoni pasta with a chicken sausage. Bell peppers in there, too. Some garlic.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. More Rowlett or Florence tasting?
He's actually from Rockwell, not Rowlett.
Yeah.
No, his favorite Italian place is Rowlett.
Is it?
Yeah. But this had tomato paste and then a white pasta sauce as well in there, too. So
there
a mix
is.
Of both.
Well done. And you went out last night?
Yeah, Sarah had it's end of month for her, so she's like, she was out until...
Oh.
No. Different kind of month. So in her world, like, she's got to be at the office.
She comes up, she's like, I'm hungry! Yeah.
She had to be at the office till like 8 or 9. Well, she doesn't know when they cut her out. They cut her. They let her go home. So I was like, all right, I need to get something to eat. So I went down to Rex's, and apparently it was a TC watch party because the girls were playing, and that place was slammed. I've never seen so many women basketball fans in my life.
Really?
But they were out there.
And you went to Tennessee.
And I went to Tennessee. Yeah. We used to sell that place out, 20,000 people. But yeah, this was, it was a good crowd out there. I was able to eat and get home.
And they lose to the Texas Longhorns, the number one seed, 58-47. But that was a tremendous season from the female Horned Frogs. Mm-hmm. Was that Elite Eight? Cut off his mic.
Elite Eight, yeah. That was Elite Eight.
Elite Eight for the first time?
I think it was the first time they had made there. And, you know, they made it a game. It was like a double-digit game, and then they cut it to two.
Yeah.
And then Texas pulls away.
I was supporting them this morning for their great season.
Yeah.
They lost to the Longhorns. So I was just trying to say, like, hey, respect. You guys played some great ball. That 47-point output in a full game was awesome.
Another Nico incident at the AAC and a horrible, well, it depends what side you're on, but if you want to make the playoffs, a horrible Mavericks loss at home. That's next with Sean and RJ. Glad you're waking up with us as part of the 6 a.m. Club to start off a Tolo Tuesday right here on The Fan.
Tend to shoot. Russell, no look. Claxton, it's good and a foul. The Nets are cooking.
Nets TV with the call. If you want the Dallas Mavericks to make the playoffs, last night was a horrible evening at the AAC, taking on the Brooklyn Nets with absolutely nothing to play for. And you had the return of Daniel Gafford, who came out with his usual energy. That was crazy to hear Jason Kidd afterwards talk about effort and energy. And maybe there was just an assumption that Daniel Gafford would bring it all himself and the other guys could chill and slack off. Gafford with 17-7 in 19 minutes. The landlord is back. That's a good nickname. Do you approve that, Bobby?
Sure. Yeah, that's good. That's just better than, like, if we called him 17-7, that's what we'd call him if it was an Evan Carter nickname.
If it was 7-7, that would be good.
It's good. Yeah, that would be good. That would be
Remind me of Lucas, 7-7.
Mavericks drinking or the number?
Both.
113-109 Nets. The Mavericks had two golden opportunities. I think Klay Thompson thought he was too wide open. He gets the ball in the corner for the wide open three. I almost had to give Jason Kidd brilliant play design credit for the shot that Klay had. He hesitated. Then he went back up for the three, came up short, got the offensive rebound, out to Dinwiddie, in rhythm, ball in and out, and the Mavericks lose.
Yeah, and Sacramento still is, they've got a two-game losing streak right now, so you don't change any of your positioning with Sacramento at the time.
Well, that stings even more.
Yeah, nothing has shifted yet, so you lose it, it doesn't actually go to where. But
pick up a half game on Phoenix.
Man, when you mentioned Klay there.
By the way, Sacramento lost to Indianapolis. I thought I saw, like, Steve Kerr just pass Carlisle for most, like, 40-point wins in a career as a coach. I didn't realize Rick had that many.
Was I only just now?
Yeah.
40-point Ws.
Jeez. Yeah. No, but you mentioned Klay Thompson there. He just seems like he's ready for the season to be over.
No,
Doesn't look like, I'm not saying it looks like he's quit. He just looks like he's just kind of like, gosh, this has been miserable. It has been. It's been a miserable year for everybody. That dude did not commit to this. This is not what he signed up for when he said, sure, I guess I'll leave where I've been my whole career, or I guess I'll spurn the Lakers where my dad is the commentator. I'll come here, pick up everything, move, and ultimately be sitting here with a lineup that, you know, features a bunch of guys scoring 12 points.
On the 30th try, simming the lottery, I got the Mavericks to fourth.
On the 30th?
Thank God. Try. That's the position they put themselves in by getting, you know, a little hot, air quotes, over the last 10 days.
I don't know how they had these awful individual numbers, because they actually outshot the Nets 47-43%. But as Bobby just referenced, starting lineup, total points, 12, 13, 11, 13. Gafford's the high man with 17. And then Max Christie with 12 off the bench. And where are you, Anthony Davis? This is the two-pronged problem with him. Number one, the injuries. Number two, he disappears. This is a moment where he has to be 30-10.
He has to be he.
He's coming back off the injury, okay? So you want to be 24-8? Fine. But every night I'm betting on Anthony Davis unders, and I'm hitting. Yeah. Every single night. This isn't second game back now. This isn't third game back. That's his fourth game back, and he scored 12, 15, 18, and 12. They need him to be him, and he's not. And this is a problem with him throughout his career. He doesn't even at times want to be the number two.
Luka has a floor, like a very high floor.
Well, he didn't hit it last night. He cost me money there. I'm finding out it's really fun to bet daily.
Oh, that's amazing.
You're picking it's up the daily
betting. I'm betting on baseball daily. I'm betting on basketball daily. I'm here.
Action, baby. It is nonstop action. But like, you know, if you're sitting there and, you know, a Luka game, his floor is like around like 19. That's a low. You might get a
19 points.
Yeah. You know, you might get a really bad shooting night and he doesn't get to the free throw line and he finds his way into something even lower than that. But like, you know, 90% of the time, his floor is like 19 points. And, you know, Anthony Davis's floor is just lower than that. Like, and that's the problem. That's the problem.
But it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be, but it is. Yeah, that's the problem.
For the month, he's averaging 14 points, 7 rebounds on 37% shooting and 8% from three.
No, he's not 37%. He's 55. No, hold on, wait, that's his free throw shooting. He has 55% from the free throw line as well during that spin. No. Sorry, I misread that. So, well, you know what? He's been everything that Nico Harrison hoped he would be. He is he's in shape and he knew Kobe Bryant. So.
And there's the Nico segue. As yesterday, we got video and audio. Nico is out, of course, pregame warm-ups. Then he has to go hiding back into the Batcave. Nico comes out. He's saying hi in the tunnel, and a Mavs fan caught him.
Fire Nico! Fire Nico! Fire Nico!
Right to his face. He's right there.
Nico right there on the fan cam.
Nico looks square at him. Oh, good job, Aiden. Nice job, Aiden, getting it on the fan cam. And Nico looks him square in the face, walks in the back. And then, Bobby, what did you find later on of this interaction? Is this a Mavs employee?
Yeah, it's like Mavs security walked up on him afterwards and basically was confronting him, having it out with him. And I do appreciate it. I respect it. The fan goes like this, puts up the talking. He goes, what are you going to do? And he just goes, you're talking. And the guy walks off. But yeah, a couple Mavs employees came up, confronted him. Because this is what the Mavericks do now.
This Mavs security guard is out of control.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be sitting there. He looked like he was ready to fight. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't held back by his coworkers, he's getting ready to get into a tussle.
This is like North Korea. It's like Soviet Russia. It's Pravda.
Yeah. Well,
that's what it is. That's what it is over there. It's a disaster. It is such a disaster. Like, you can't. I mean,
is he never going to watch a game in the arena at the AAC again?
He needs the offseason to happen yesterday.
What happens game one next year if he sits in his seat?
I mean, he's hoping that the 4 months away or 6 months away, whatever it will be, is enough time. It won't be, but that's what he's hoping for. That's his best chance.
Yeah, he has misevaluated every step of the way. So I understand if he thinks enough time away, people forget about it. Because he thought they were going to get over it that day. Then he thought they would get over it in a week. Then he thought, well, surely by a month. Luka hasn't even come to town yet. We're still due for that in a week. That's what's gonna set it all back into motion when Luka comes in here and drops 60. That's gonna be another detriment. And he's gonna think, all right, we'll get through the summer, and then they'll come back next year. And he will come right back to fire Nico, and he's gonna be stunned again.
Where are we in terms of when does it go too far? And you're like, all right, just make the play-in situation, Mavs. Just do it.
This year?
Yeah.
It doesn't. I don't want them anywhere near that. Why, you know, they tanked 2 years ago. Why are they tanking now? Like, what's the difference?
Well, I think the difference...
He's got to salvage something? I don't know.
I think that's it.
I mean, to me, the salvage is finding a way in the lottery and getting lucky with moving up and getting Cooper Flagg.
I think he's got to show a little bit to the fan base that this team, even without Kyrie, look, this is my vision. This is what I was seeing. Anthony Davis already let it be known. I'm not just going to sit out. That ruined Team Tank right there because they couldn't tell Anthony Davis, fresh off coming here, we're a loser organization and we're just gonna sit out and drop all these L's.
Do you think part of the reason this even happened last night, him getting confronted, is because they had won 4 out of 5 and he was like, I can go back out there. They're seeing now. Yeah. They're seeing what we're doing. They're seeing how we win with Anthony Davis out there.
I think he just thought it was safe. Like,
no one was in the building yet.
I'm surprised his fan was even in there.
I know. What are you doing? Are you that bored to get to the game that early?
Chris Sano's like, come down here. I got you.
Chris just opened a back door for
check it out. Got you down.
Good job, Chris.
Got you in. Speaking of Luka and the Lakers, they had a big-time matchup last night against the Armpit.
I just mentioned it'll win tonight. They get win number 50.
Oh,
what a great Dodgers. Broke his ankles in the corner. Fitty Smith. It's a three. Another one for L.A.
Luka with the assist, and the Lakers end up winning 104-98. Can't believe again that Luka cost me some money, but he only scored 20 points, did have 9 assists. LeBron had 16, and the Lakers win. They had been struggling. J.J. Redick called LeBron, Austin Reeves, and Luka together, saying get it together offensively. So here's the Western Conference right now. Oklahoma City is 14.5 games up on the Rockets. The Rockets are the 2 seed. Man, what a job by that front office and Ime Udoka. The former Celtics coach and Nia Long X. Denver is the 3. The Lakers are the 4. Memphis is the 5. Golden State is the 6. Then Minnesota, the Clippers, the Mavericks are the 9. Sacramento is the 10. And again, Kevin Durant is hurt with the ankle. The stunning fire.
I still don't get what's going on there.
Memphis.
With Memphis firing Taylor Jenkins. And it makes no sense. I mean, you're the 5 seed. Why are you firing your head coach, you know, 2 weeks before the playoffs start or whatever?
And the conspiracy theorists are out saying, oh, well, Taylor Jenkins is gone. Here comes Ja Morant back.
Here comes Ja Morant back. And, you know, now there's also people saying, like, is Ja Morant going to get traded? And, you know, my
this feels
kind of
very
antennas go up.
De'Aaron Fox-esque with Mike Brown in Sacramento. Like, people are like, did De'Aaron get rid of Mike Brown? And then they trade De'Aaron.
Yeah, they up and move him anyway. Like, that, it doesn't make any sense. Like, Memphis is a good team. They're a solid team this year. Like, why would you up and fire the coach?
They are 3-7 in their last 10, but yeah, you're about to have the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not really like, you're not in the play-in, you're in the playoffs.
Feels a little Adrian Griffin-like. Like, when Milwaukee was like, yeah, this isn't exactly what we were hoping for, and then they canned Adrian Griffin, and then they brought in Doc Rivers, and it's been worse. Where Taylor Jenkins was a guy who was a really well thought of coaching candidate, and somebody who, when people are like, all right, that's a guy who's going to lead that organization for a long time. He's had an impressive run while he's been there. It still doesn't make any sense. It feels like there's some other piece of this information that we don't have.
Speaking of Ja Morant returning, he came back from a 6-game absence against the Lakers. Luka had joked earlier in the season, it feels like everyone comes back against the Lakers. I used to think when people whispered about that in league circles, it was just a myth. But yeah, it seems like it's kind of a thing. Well, J.J. Redick had his analytics department look into it.
Yeah.
And according to his research, the Lakers have faced the healthiest rosters in the NBA. 86% of opposing payroll has been available to play them. So that's JJ saying, dig into that analytics.
That actually might, because, you know, like you said, Luka talked about that a month ago. It actually might play into it where players target a comeback against the Lakers because they're probably going to be on national TV.
Yeah.
I could see how that would make sense for a player to want to come back. But, you know, you also have to check, like, you know, I know they're the highest in the league, but, you know, how close are the other ones? How close are all the other teams, that 86%? Like, are the Lakers at 86% and nobody else is above 70? Like, that's a big difference. If they're all at 80%, then it's like, eh.
By the way, you mentioned Kevin Durant and the Suns. Durant, they say, is out for minimum week. So that's his timeline right now. He's out for at least a week. And that's relevant to the Mavericks and their positioning.
I can finally support Steven Jones after some news came out yesterday, voting against Filthy. We'll take you inside the Star and around the NFL from the owners' meetings on the home of the Cowboys next. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club here on Sean and RJ. We got our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt, and this is your home of the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. We got a Tolo ticket giveaway, concert seats to hook you up with during the 720 Expressway. We want you to win it because you're listening to start off your day. Good job, Steven Jones. I'm proud of you. As the headline yesterday coming out of the NFL owners meetings in Palm Beach, Florida was, momentum is gaining against the tush push. CBS Sports. With the current tally, teams in support of the tush push: Baltimore, Cleveland, Houston, Indy, New England, the Jets, and of course, Philadelphia. There are two teams, well, three teams, really. When you factor in the Green Bay Packers. And RJ, as you point out, the number one, probably most important and loudest voice coming from Buffalo.
Yeah, and the Bills use it. Like, they use it. And Sean McDermott said he's concerned with player safety. Like, to me, if you're going to eliminate this, the best chance you have is the player safety route. Anything else looks like sour grapes. Like, no matter whether you think it's the right, it looks, optics-wise, like you're just like, I can't stop it, so let's ban it.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
And that's why Sean McDermott tried it like seven times in the game against
Kansas City
is because he agrees. It's a player safety issue. That's why he put his highest investment right in the way multiple times and failed.
But that, to me, like if you really want this to pass, you have to convince the other owners that your largest investment has a greater chance of getting hurt because of this. That's how you do it.
The problem is they don't have the medical data to support it. They have Jason Kelce on record saying it, and he is the architect of it all.
Yep.
But if Jerry Jones comes on this show multiple times and says, we don't have any turf information, we don't have any artificial, what are you talking about? Grass isn't healthier for these
don't
guys.
Don't tell me what I'm saying.
Even though they're the ones out there saying it and playing it, I don't know if they have the medical data to support it.
Yeah, I know. They've found ways to manipulate that medical information, I'm sure.
It's just a compromise. Again, Bobby and I have been banging the table for this over and over and over. We can all compromise. You can keep the tush push. Just don't allow the pushing in the back. And Stephen Jones brings up the other side of the ball.
Well, that's just a QB sneak. Right? That's just a QB sneak.
Fine.
Which is what the play has been for forever. Like, this isn't like just some radical thing. This isn't like we're saying like, oh my gosh, you're basically, this is so stupid. Vrabel had the dumbest effing line yesterday where he goes, ban Lamar Jackson from running too if you're going to ban the it's not the same thing, you idiots. God, I'm glad you're not here because I would just have to talk about what an idiot you are today.
CBS Sports says Stephen Jones indicated Dallas will vote against the push, desiring consistency in rule enforcement as linebackers are not currently permitted to push defensive linemen when defending extra points.
That's a shift. If we're talking about consistency, well, that's not totally consistent with what Steven and Jerry have said on this station.
We asked Jerry and he was fine with it.
Exactly. Steven, and Steven said in this, he said, this is an evolution apparently because of the point the Packers brought up about pushing defensive players pushing, is that Steven looked at it and said, then what we need to find is consistency. So that would either have to mean linebackers are now allowed to push defensive players or you're not allowed to push the quarterback anymore. One of those two things has to happen. And so I think that's where their evolution has come from is, okay, well, all right, we do need consistency across the board then.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'd be okay if they decided to allow, you know, the push of the defensive players.
It's not fair. I mean, I don't know how you're not allowed to, you can't have leverage on a kick block. Yeah. You can't push players, but like you can shove Jalen Hurts and you can hard count five times to the point that you tell Washington, we're just going to give him a touchdown if you keep jumping.
It's offense. Like they want all leagues want of it. That's why they're not getting rid of Torpedo Bets.
It feels like someone is going to sneak in to try to steal Tyreek Hill. That's my prediction here over the next 2 months. If the Dallas Cowboys did it, I probably wouldn't be thrilled about like the overall team planning, but I would be excited if you told me you get Tyreek Hill, you draft Ashton Jeanty. Now I got some juice for Oxnard.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
Now I got some juice.
That's exciting. You get Tyreek Hill on this team, regardless of whether or not you give up, you pay too much for him from a pick standpoint or from the contract standpoint. No matter what, you have an exciting player. And at the end of the day,
because right now I'm looking for juice. I need juice for the Cowboys.
The only juice for the Cowboys right now is it means the football season's starting.
Yeah,
that's it.
If we had to, let's say, obviously the draft is going to happen, but let's say if Oxnard were to start tomorrow, what's like the number one thing that you go, I guess that's the most interesting. Is it just Schottenheimer watching him and how he interacts, I guess? Because there's nothing else.
There's nothing else at all.
How does Dak Hammy look?
No,
that's not exciting.
No, it's not exciting, but like
What carbs is he thinking about eating since the Slim Reaper? That's his new internet nickname with all the weight loss. But Tyreek Hill is making noise again. Remember, after Miami's season in the locker room ended, he said, I'm out. tried to walk back those comments. Well, the last 24 hours on social media, Tyreek is doing his disruptive thing again. A fan was asking if they'd be open to trading Hill. He responded with a smiling emoji. Then he went with the peace sign, like, I'm out of here. Mike McDaniel was forced to answer questions about this yesterday. And he said, we are fully planning to move forward with Tyreek in 2025. Tyreek is known for whatever antics on social media. So this does not feel, it's not settled. Definitely not in Tyreek's mind. It feels like someone could try to sneak in.
No, it doesn't feel settled. And, you know, when you, that's such a difficult word too, antics. Like for Mike McDaniel to use the term antics, even if you're just saying, ah, his social media games, he plays, whatever, just to say antics, that sounds like somebody you consider to be a problem. And that's not typically the way Mike McDaniel talks about his players. And so I definitely think that, man, he seems like, you remember reached that point with Antonio Brown? Not that he's at Antonio Brown levels yet, but you remember that reached that point in Antonio Brown with the Raiders, where it was like, okay, I thought the Raiders had this settled. Why is there a new story today about he's unhappy? And okay, all right, it's settled. No, he's unhappy again. Tyreek Hill's starting to be that guy a little bit where it's like, I thought we put this to bed. Why are we a week later and all of a sudden you're unhappy again?
Mm. Doesn't this just make sense for like Kansas City? Bring him back.
Bring him back, yeah.
He was okay here except for, you know, the whole incident off the field. But in the locker room, can Pat and Andy control him? You know, they need a new, they need another spark there. The 33rd team threw this out and said, who says no? The Cowboys receive Tyreek Hill and pick number 98. Is that third round, Bobby?
Yep.
They get pick 44 and a third. A 2025 fourth, number 44, I'm sorry. 2025 number 44 and 2026 third.
Which is really a fourth.
I do that.
Yeah.
I have to, like, I mean, if I'm getting a third back with Tyreek Hill, yeah. If it's just the second for Tyreek Hill, probably not. But yeah, I'm getting a third back with Tyreek Hill, yes, do it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So that's my prediction, Tyreek Hill. So I'm going to try to sneak in and make some waves.
Chiefs have around, is it effective cap space or cap space I need to look at?
For what?
For
just effective cap space.
So the Chiefs have $9 million.
Cowboys have about, supposedly $30 million in cap space.
30 and a half.
Well, did you see what Stephen Jones was saying yesterday about the second receiver? He wants a new target. He wants a big one. This is what he told reporters yesterday. He's speaking a lot this week. It's not just the
he
one time, I guess.
He talked again?
He talked again yesterday. He said, we're still open to looking at a really explosive number two that can upgrade us. He said, I like our room. This is from Nick Harris. We added Mingo late in the year last year. I think him having a full offseason to work with Dak. We really liked him when he came out of Ole Miss. I really feel like he has a lot of upside. I certainly like our young guys. Flannoy, obviously Turpin brings a little something to the mix with his juice and explosion. I really like our room, but at the same time, losing Cooks in free agency, we're still open. So
they know number two is a glaring need.
You honestly, I don't think you have, you're glaring. Missing two starters at receiver because it's a three receiver league, and I don't think you have a legitimate two or a legitimate three.
Cal Edwards said the cap hit for Miami would be ridiculous if they moved on from Hill before June. So I like that. I like when Tolos just don't throw out Cleveland Brown scenarios, and it's basically show me your work. Give me the cap hits. Give me the salaries. We got to make it work in terms of the math. So that's Stephen Jones also saying the running. So what would it be with Tyreek's contract? Refresh me, please.
If Dallas brought him on, what hit would they take?
Yeah, like what's he have left?
Let me pull it up. It would not be anything that Dallas couldn't handle.
Like, and is he looking for a new deal? Is he making this noise because he wants to get paid again?
So you would probably have to guarantee another year for him or something along those lines. But as long as you just make the trade, get him here, and then work out a negotiation, it's not anything they can't weather. Dallas would basically just take on his guaranteed salary, which is this year, $27 million.
Steven also saying this running back class stronger compared to years past. So keep an eye on that. And then the comments out of Cleveland on a quarterback still on their roster.
Yeah, this is the second owner we've seen do this. We saw the Diamondbacks owner do this with Jordan Montgomery.
Yep.
Where he went on, he was like, well, I regret that deal big time. And I mean, they got 117 innings out of him, and now he's got Tommy John surgery, so he's done this year. But Jimmy Haslam, basically saying that a big swing and a miss.
We swung and we missed
Ooh.
On the quarterback.
That is, That is not something you want to hear from the owner, especially when the guy's still there. Like, he's still there.
It's not just swing and miss. He also said, we gave up draft picks. And he said, so we've got to dig ourselves out of that hole. So he's referring to that as digging out of a hole. He also said, D has him. We're responsible for this. Hold us accountable. Like, I mean, he was basically just saying Deshaun Watson's useless, which him still being on the roster is wild for them to say something. They clearly are just trying to communicate very publicly that they don't want anything to do with him anymore.
But they're stuck. They get a fully guaranteed contract.
You're not stuck. You draft a replacement.
No. I know, but you're stuck with, like, you're paying him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be there. I mean, you can cut him. Sure, you can cut him.
Yeah.
They just pay all the dead cap.
It's just the worst contract anybody's ever given out. Guaranteed it.
Pete Prisco the other day said it's the worst trade in NFL history.
Well, you can make, it's a hard case to argue.
It's way up there. Nothing else comes to mind.
Do you lock in the Browns to picking a quarterback first round?
No. No, I don't think so. Because, I mean, if they're not in love with one of them, then I could see them just saying, we need to build around other players and we'll just run with Pickett for right now.
If they sat there with a two.
Yeah, number two.
If they picked Abdul Carter and said, you know, we are going to go all in on defense. Micah and Abdul, Miles and Abdul on the edge. Let's just figure it out defensively. And then we'll try to get something out of it. I could see them going that route. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't take a quarterback.
Quarterback confidence amongst Tennessee, Cleveland, the Giants, and the Raiders, and the Jets, where you're like, I know they're going to pick one. Or you can't answer it because you don't know who they like.
I don't think Raiders are going to pick a quarterback. They're talking about giving – Pete Carroll just talked about yesterday, he's them giving Geno an extension. So I think Geno's probably locked in. Titans, if they stay at one, they're picking a quarterback. Whoever's picking at one is picking a quarterback. Yeah. So if the Titans stay there, they will. Cleveland is not certain. Giants, not certain. Giants, it depends on what happens ahead of them, I think.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Some Rangers want to start using that torpedo bat, and a former Ranger is gone for 80 games with cheating. That's next here with Sean and RJ and a new concert ticket giveaway right here on The Fan.